Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 129, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, yeah. A production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially off the top, fuck the Koch brothers, fuck Fox News, and you know what? Fuck Donald Trump. I'm going to come out right now and say it. He's doing a bad job. It's Tuesday, April 15th, 2020. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Oh, don't you dare touch that and keep away from me. I said you're gonna hack. She said social distance with me. Somebody call the CDC. She said, ooh, social distance with me. That was courtesy of Christy Yamaguchi, man. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
I heard about a virus coming round. It's gonna lock up all our asses down. And when it happens, I'll be smoking blunts. So daily zeitgeist, daily zeitgeist.
Boom, boom, boom.
All this running around.
I could keep going. That's Tame Impala. Let it happen. Thank you to Bowling for Queso at Bowling for Q for that Tame Impala inspired AKA, one of my favorite bands. So thank you for that.
Yeah, yo. And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious, the talented, the brilliant Zara Norbash.
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
What's going on?
I'm talking to you from my bed.
Mm-hmm. Are you in bed?
Oh. There's a Winnebago just went by. Yeah.
There you go. Are you broadcasting from bed?
From bed.
Fantastic. How is your posture so good? Are you leaned against the wall?
This green screen makes it so that you just see the front half and not my hunched back.
Got it.
Impressive Zoom background today. How would you describe your Zoom background? Like an Ellen DeGeneres birthday card?
It says, "Happy birthday, Irene." It's for my friend Irene too. What's up? Happy birthday. Uh-huh. And Dory.
Yeah, it's a Dory. It's got Ellen's face. It's a Dory themed background with unofficial Pixar art. The Pixar art is not it's not actually Dory from Pixar. More of a like a seventh grader's interpretation.
Okay, here's what I don't understand. How do you know it's unofficial?
Oh, because I watch so much Pixar shit.
Because it looks like something from like a 70s science book, like the way the animals are painted.
But how do you know it's not an official?
Yeah, that's true. It could be concept
art. Pixar wouldn't put that shit out.
Hey, it could be concept art, Jack. We don't know. These could be early storyboards.
That's true. That's true. But yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point. And I apologize for being presumptuous about your background.
I'm just impressed.
Green screen. Miles is rocking the Simpsons couch in his background. Loving these green screen backgrounds.
I'm rewatching so much Simpsons. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, I'm trying to recreate the TV block that would happen in LA, like after school, that I would watch, where it's like Simpsons, Married with Children, King of the Hill, Malcolm in the Middle, News, MASH, you know, whatever. But the Simpsons have really come through in a big way.
Oh, that just brought back so much nostalgia for me.
Right?
MASH was when you knew it was time to turn it off.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, this seems entertaining for sure. Was Conan ever on like after school, or did my friend just videotape it? And I assumed that like we were watching reruns, but I think it was actually he was videotaping what had been on the night before. Shout out to Brian Basta, good man. We watched a lot of Conan together early days. Like, first season Conan was so good.
Like, back when they still had Pimp Bot?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Back when, yeah, it was like real early days. Like, some of the really wild shit wasn't even landing, like, with the audience.
Right.
People are like, wait, what the fuck?
You're talking about Conan O'Brien, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Early Conan. Yeah, sorry. Not Conan with the sword and Xena. Of the Xena, the Warrior Princess universe.
Conan with the jokes.
Zara, how are you doing? How are you quarantining?
Okay, so I had two COVID scares. Have you guys had those where you get like allergies and you're like, is this it?
Oh, no. I've tried to be very like careful the second. I don't know. When we were on tour, that was when I felt the most vulnerable, because there was a while where we were on like 8 planes in the matter of like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Right towards the end of February. And right after that, I was very much like, any little thing I thought may have been illness, but no, I tried not to freak myself out because I'm pretty good at doing that myself.
But then what about like your grocery shopping, your out and about, like getting supplies at times?
I assume the expert advice that's been given out will keep me safe. So I try not to think too many permutations past what that expert advice is.
Sucker. Am I right, Zara?
Yeah, this right. Guy. My believe expert in, advice
believe
comes
in what
from,
the scientists say.
Not the scientists, the president and his tweets.
That's right.
About what I need to stock up on. That's what you do, that's you right. idiot.
Yeah. You dumb. I actually had a minor COVID scare over the weekend where I couldn't smell. Actually, I'm not going to bring this up because people don't want to hear about my son's dirty diapers. So I'm not going to bring that up. But
no
let's
matter
just say
how
that
deeply
the,
I inhaled, no matter how deeply oh I inhaled, there was no sign of scent.
But people don't want to hear about that. I'm just saying the fact that something as subjective as the sense of smell and taste is one of the symptoms is really like really a mind fuck, because you can be really thrown off by that.
It's funny though that you say your kid's diaper thing, because now that you say it, Zara, I did early on when I was just very narrowly being like, okay, if you can't smell, then you've got like I was like smelling my own armpit so deeply. To try and be like, there's no way this is odorless.
There's no
right
way
now.
I smell this like, good.
Yeah, and I'm like using like Her Majesty as like a fucking control group. I'm like, you come here and you smell this now. What do you know? Okay, now let me smell your armpit now.
Wild,
what do you smell?
Like, it's a weird like prisoner's dilemma where like everybody like the people you're quarantined with, you're having to like work off of them, and it's right. all like relative, like ability to smell terrible smells is like,
okay, you also
I feel like maybe that's not the one that we need to use to scientifically diagnose ourselves.
You reminded me how I'm actually doing, because my husband is at home. He's in medical school, but he's in his fourth year, and they're all at home studying. And so my stand-up is ruined. All I have are fart jokes. That's it. That's my whole audience. Let me see if I got it. Let me see if I got it. He's had me practice this, like, I don't know, 17 times a day.
Okay.
Let her rip! Let her rip!
I mean, that's
diapers,
good.
Diapers, diapers! That's his favorite. See? That's his favorite.
You're dialing in your whole new brand now. I'm really curious to see what people's new comedy brands are coming out of this. Yeah,
my new album is going to be different.
Let her rip with
Zara Dorbox. It's just going to be called Let Her Rip.
Yeah, Let Her Rip. Can she please rip? That's the next album.
Permission to rip?
Permission to rip.
Can you let a woman rip?
Yeah,
that's weird. No, thank you. Let's not do that last one.
Thank you.
Yet she still ripped.
Yes, yes. All right, Zara, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. We're going to check in real quick. I've watched half of Tiger King and I, the new episode of Tiger King that is not really an episode of Tiger King. We're going to talk about Bernie endorsing Biden. We're going to talk about just the complete clusterfuck that is the Trump administration and the GOP's response to coronavirus. We're going to talk about Coachella. We're going to talk about Joe Exotic just straight up crushing it in Europe. Disney deciding that it's time for more Robin Hood. We need more Robin Hood in this world. And Jaws, of course, being the movie of the moment.
Yes!
First, Zara, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are or where we are as a people?
I was just looking up Khan!
Khan, wow. Oh, from Star Trek.
Yes.
Wow, what? Why did you, is this part of your fart bit or? you go, Khan!
It's a great way to cover it up. Yeah.
Oh, just right.
Huge distraction. Yeah.
Scream Con.
Way
over
to
your
step on my punchline. That was my chance to let her rip and yell Con.
Are you Trekkie?
I am kind of a Trekkie. I'm also like directing quarantine movies with my students.
What's that?
I have a bunch of solo performance students who. At the Hollywood Fringe got moved to October. And meanwhile, we got to rehearse and try stuff. So we've been doing it like all, you know, to camera. And like, we were like, oh, we should totally just like do this for IGTV now. And we're mimicking like scenes from famous films for one of my students, Bushra nice. Bernie. She's got her show coming out in October now. And there's going to be a great Con scene. It's going to be rad.
Nice.
That sounds incredible. What is something you think is underrated?
Tim Allen. Sorry, is that obvious?
Oh, no.
I think so.
Tim Allen is underrated? I'm sorry. Maybe I was in a childcare coma over the weekend, so sometimes I just miss what is happening in the culture.
I was on a diaper-sniffing bender over the weekend.
That's right. Why is Tim Allen underrated right now?
Okay, I've been watching so many Christmas movies because, you know, it doesn't matter what time it is because it's just always your house. And I went on like a Christmas
It's just
binge.
Always your house is my favorite description of it. It doesn't matter what it is because it's always your house. Yep. Facts. Go on. I'm sorry.
It's just where we are. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've been watching so many Tim Allen movies. Man, okay, he's got some pretty bad lines sometimes. Mm-hmm. And he does a good job.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I mean,
he's always committed.
He's got that cocaine charisma, you know, that just like he can nail even the botched lines. I was watching the Santa Claus again, and my goodness.
Wait, really?
Yeah. There's like, they in the one of the opening scenes, the boss is like encouraging drunk driving, kind of. And then there's like this white man is like interrupting a woman of color to like take all credit for the work that's been done. I was like,
yeah, that's right.
I'm like, this tracks, I guess. But yeah, I'm Tim Allen has that thing. Like back then, they're like, this guy just can't miss, man. He's fucking grunting on Home Improvement. And people are like, yeah, dude, that's not even a line. But that's fucking, we love
Let
it.
Let her rip.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm finding my audience. I'm finding them.
Yeah.
He has big letter rip energy.
Letter cocaine charisma. That's my new favorite noun phrase.
I have way less Tim Allen in my life, and I'm going to remedy that. I'm gonna work on getting more Tim Allen in my life.
Let's all do that.
Catch up with you guys. Yeah.
Yeah, do that indeed. And then cause a violent, like, emotional, mental car crash by loading up his latest stand-up and juxtapose the two. And then you can be like, right, this fucking
last man standing, because everybody else isn't a real man.
Wasn't he? He was going to do that, like, fuck your feelings snowflakes tour with Adam Carolla, wasn't he? Or did they already do that?
That's the name of a tour?
It was basically like old washed white comedians who like don't know how to do material other than being toxic and mean as humor, quote unquote, and like pushing back against like this new world. So they're just going to go out and be like, nah, dude, straight
shooters. Do you ever have moments where you're like, damn, my social media is highly curated for me? I don't see any of this.
You know, oh yeah, I get off on looking at every corner of the internet. So I'm always like, yo, there are really people seriously like, yeah, man, this shit is necessary. I'm like, oh boy, people who haven't moved
I
past
check
the
Drudge belief. More than I check like CNN. It's really more morbid curiosity than anything. Zara, what is something you think is overrated?
Pandemics.
Oh
yeah.
Get over it, snowflakes.
Panic.
Yep. Yeah. Fuck your feelings, man.
this new feelings. Brand of yours is great. I'm loving it.
I mean, I'm surprised there is a little. Is there more of a call for the greatest generation, like what remains of it, for them to go back out there and work? You know, if they really are the greatest generation, wouldn't they be the ones to put their lives on the line for this American economy?
Wait, which generation is that? I thought that's their parents.
The parents of boomers.
The boomers' parents.
The boomers' parents is the greatest generation.
Yeah, they're like the World War II depression live 90s like survivors.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know.
According to them, but I mean, I have to say it's got to be the boomers. I mean, they invented all the cool stuff.
Well, here's why pandemics are overrated.
Uh-huh.
Because I've been reading that a lot of this talk about the pandemics is like something that we actually have to get used to on a regular basis, because part of the reason why COVID got so bad is climate change. The climate crisis.
Oh, really?
Yes, because of the rapid disappearance of species.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and because we've lost somewhere around, like, I think more than 250 million species in the last 4 years.
Yeah, the and also like the biomass, like the decrease is also horribly alarming.
Wait, how did the dying off of species lead to the pandemic?
I don't know the exact science behind this, but I know that there's a relationship between viruses that animals pick up before it gets to us at all.
Oh, interesting.
That resolve themselves.
Like slows it down?
Yes. And something like that. And because of the rapid decline of species, we don't have that protection anymore.
Oh, wow.
I think the other thing, too, even to like it, especially when you compare what we're looking at with climate change, like that's the other scientific thing people are doing a really good job at pretending isn't a thing. And our solutions to that aren't just shelter in place either. And it's like, that's what's really the dark, even darker lining to this. It's like, okay, so we're barely getting our shit together, barely scraping by with coronavirus. What does that mean for the climate change conversation when we sort this out? Are we ready to talk about that? Like, that's a thing that could also wipe out most of the earth?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, we could have been doing shelter in place to reverse climate crisis, because that's been working, actually.
Right.
Yeah.
And as you guys may know from my other appearances on your show, I am a huge fan of secular catastrophes, aka any catastrophe that's not Muslim.
Right.
And the disappearance of Antarctica is one that I've been following for a really long time. And now the soil underneath the all of the ice in Antarctica is actually thawing. Yes.
Yeah.
And with it are also thawing prehistoric viruses that never died.
New bacteria.
Jesus Christ.
Literally just keeping it on ice, bro. Just keep that on ice for a few million years.
Look at how excited my face is for this secular catastrophe.
I've never seen someone feign a smile as good as you right there, Zara.
All right, now's the time when you tell us a myth and you explain that everything you just said was a myth, hopefully. we're not going to die horribly pretty soon.
They keep telling us that it's impossible to reverse climate crisis, right? Climate change, that like, you know, LA is fucked. Too bad. There's no way that we're going to ever be able to make this work. But then in the last 3 weeks, they're like, because of the lack of cars on the road, the film over LA has disappeared. It's gone.
Yeah.
And part LA of the reason, part of the reason why we have so much rain is actually because that smog cloud is lifted. And so the rain clouds can actually make their way up the mountain.
Oh, is that true? I didn't realize that. The rain is nice. It's a nice change of pace.
The knock, but it's just so funny cyclically, right? More cars means more smog, which means more carbon, which means less rain, which means more fire, which means more carbon, which, and then you eliminate that even pollution aspect of it. And it's giving us a bump in like moisture.
That's all.
You know? And it's like, what the fuck?
We literally have like 2 weeks extra rain because we're driving this much less. And when I was in high school, I remember the way that they talked about the like pollution in LA. It was just like, good luck solving that.
Right.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I remember that air pollution and even the hole in the ozone layers were kind of portrayed as irreversible problems. And then once, you know, once the hole in the ozone layer started going in the other direction, people like stopped covering it as a news story. Basically, we just kind of forgot about it. And, you know,
all it took was 3 weeks and an economic meltdown.
Right. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, there are some ways in which official policy isn't taking into account climate change, but I agree that we should be kind of covering climate change as something that is more actionable than, you know, I feel like the two messages I get sometimes are we're fucked or you guys are overreacting and there's no problem, basically. There's not sort of that in between where there's a hopeful message.
Yeah, you know, the other thing that's interesting is like, in this situation, because before it was always up to us, like, you know, we can't do that to the car industry. We can't do that to gas and oil. But then now it's not really up to us.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It seems pretty clearly out of our hands, but hopefully I keep coming up against this thought over like even the last three stories we've talked about that the world is just thoroughly being controlled by the baby boomer like point of view, like even with the greatest generation having this mythic ideal about them, and like that's the baby boomer generation's parents, so it's like we're just dealing with their like daddy issues basically. But also like how they're dealing with climate change and just their inability to like take blame because they're so narcissistic. And there's, you know, in the quarantine, I just read a statistic that 40-something% of people under the age of 35, it's basically like people who aren't boomers are getting fucked by this economic catastrophe caused by climate change, and boomers are still somehow fine, even though, you know, they're older and should be at least as vulnerable as the rest of us when it comes to economic like where we are economically.
Oh, yeah.
They're just somehow cushioned.
Boomer IG is popping right now in the age of the quarantine. Like,
really?
I've never seen people
more. Is it really?
I see some people's parents who I follow on Instagram, and then other people, I like to look at older people's Instagram things. Like I'll go down a wormhole because there is a group I see of sort of older people who are like nearing retirement or whatever, who are truly like taking this as like every day is like a quarantine-y pick that they have.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, right. This is a big fucking laugh.
Quarantine-y for some o'clock.
People. Yeah. And you're like, no, what about fucking like mass suffering o'clock constantly? Like, and let's really kind of readjust how we're looking at it. But yeah, I think on some level there is that, a blissful ignorance to this whole ordeal for some people.
Yeah. All right, guys, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with more podcast.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. And over the weekend, there was a lot of buzz that Donald Trump was going to fire Dr. Fauci because on Jake Tapper over the weekend, Fauci admitted that, you know, the thing we all know is true, that lives could have been saved if Trump wasn't such a narcissistic catastrophe of a president. And Then on Sunday evening, Trump retweeted a post that ended with the hashtag time to hashtag fire Fauci. I don't know. It seems like somewhat inevitable that that's going to happen, because on the one hand, you have the person who at least represents the truth. I don't know if he's necessarily like the truth seeking hero that we all have made him out to be, but Fauci is definitely the person who at least represents the truth in the administration, probably has the most at stake when it comes to you know, disagreeing with the president and at least being willing to put the truth out there. And then the president is, you know, just tied to whatever is best for his ego at any given moment. So yeah, there's going to be a clash there.
We've seen this play out every time. He doesn't like experts. He doesn't like people with any kind of experiential knowledge that would actually help him, or anyone who comparatively knows more than him, especially when it's something like right now. Trump is clearly like in this headspace of, oh, fuck, like the numbers have to look right or I'll go to jail if I'm not reelected kind of energy. And everything is so focused on like what the numbers look like. What's the economy going to look like? What are this? Blah, 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 blah. And so when you have the clearly like within the White House, everyone wants to keep him safe. So like before Fauci, right, there was Azar at Health and Human Services, who's a former pharmaceutical, you know, executive who runs out HHS. Right. He was even that guy, the pharma ghoul, was telling Trump at the end of January. He's like, hey, man, you got to fucking look into this, dude. Like, this is going to be, this could be bad. He's like, this is really... Yeah. We're looking at some really significant losses here if we don't do anything. And that's why, Alex, we haven't heard from him ever since, because apparently Pence, Kushner, everyone's like, shut the fuck up. Don't fucking say real shit to him.
No way.
Or he's going to get all fucking mad. Yeah. That's why he's fallen. That's why Azar completely vanished from being head of HHS to, like, we're like, okay. So there's this contempt of, like, don't upset Pappy with facts because he can't handle it. So just let him make decisions based on non-knowledge that are going to have real-world effects. I don't know how they think that's a sustainable, like, sort of model to manage this all.
I mean, I don't think that they're meant to. I think that Trump is here to Chapter 11 the United States.
Mm.
Yeah, he's well on. He's doing a great job.
I mean, that is, in a way, that is his MO, like, in life. So makes sense. Wherever he goes, bankruptcy.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything he touches turns to shit except for his own reputation, which he manages to just kind of push his way through by lying. And it's,
but that's within his own head.
Yeah. Well, but it works. Yeah. I mean, it's worked for a long time because he knows how to, he's very successful at manipulating people, but nobody comes away from him unscathed. And by electing him president, we invited the vampire into the house, essentially. And he's not going to leave office without a huge fight that is going to challenge every norm that we have. To your point, Miles, I think there's more and more reporting coming out on the Trump administration, like what was going on inside the Trump administration during these crucial weeks where they weren't social isolating or recommending social isolating. There was a New York Times in-depth article on Sunday that was pretty went into detail about, you know, people like Fauci who are like pushing. And so I'm assuming that's why he feels comfortable now coming out and being like, yeah, so obviously this guy is fucking up. But I don't know. On the one hand, like, yeah, we're correcting the record and it's going to be known. It's going to, like, people are going to know who fucked up. But on the other hand, from a practical perspective, it's, you know, there's still lives to be saved. And in fact, this might be the most crucial time for the saving of lives. Trump is, meanwhile, while he's retweeting things about firing Fauci, he is being selfish about getting credit for the decision to reopen the country, which... I don't see how this doesn't fuck him. I'm sure there's some way I'm not thinking of.
What do you mean selfish? Like he's like, it's my idea.
It's my decision. Yeah, it's my decision. It's my decision alone. And it's an incredibly, you know, that it's a no-win decision. And it's one that, like when he first suggested the Easter thing, Kellyanne Conway was like, you can't say shit like that, because every death after Easter, if you go forward with this, you will own every death that happens after Easter from a political standpoint. But it just seems like he
is. Damn, I wondered.
Yeah, but it just seems like he is too, like, you know, short-sightedly egotistical. And there were a bunch of articles about how governors were going to have to make their own decisions on a state-by-state basis. And he was like, no, it's my decision. I'm going to bring in my task force, which is Jovanka. He's now openly saying, like, my children are going to be part of the task force. And he's going to consult a couple other people and then make the decision on when to reopen the government. But it is an incredibly difficult decision that probably should be made by governors. But he, you know, being a egotistical dictator, at least in aspiration, he wants to be the guy who makes the big decision. It's just kind of a no-win situation that probably can't be good for him politically if we're assuming that we still live in a democracy, which, you know, who knows if we do based on
how easy
it's going to be for him to manipulate things and declare martial law and kill the post office and decline to let people vote over mail.
The post office is like the last, that's a barometer for me.
Yeah,
that's right. A big one. I think people are going to be pissed if they lose the post office.
Well, and also like how readily they're willing to dismantle everything so quickly without any thought given to it is like, that's also just like, oh, that's, we're truly in like the darkest timeline at that point when we're like, yeah, no, don't need the post office. Just get rid of that thing. Yeah,
emergency.
Privatize everything.
What was that word you said? Destabilization, Zara?
Yes. That's right. Yeah. Chapter 11, the United States.
Yeah.
That's right. So anyways, I mean, that's a big conversation that's being had on both sides about Wisconsin pushed through and had their primary, despite the fact that experts were saying this is wildly irresponsible and we should just find a way to let people only vote over mail because going out to the polls right now is deadly. They still had it. And, you know, there's these Fox News articles where they're both siding it. They're like, on the one hand, people think it's deadly. On the other hand, voting by mail opens things up to massive voter fraud, which,
what?
Again, is a made-up problem. Made-up problem that, you know, they continue to insist is a real issue because it's the only way for them to suppress the vote.
Well, I think for them it's like, oh, and also voter fraud on our side could become a massive problem.
Right.
They're like predicting what they would do, because that's typically the concerns they raise is that they already, it's like having like a burglar do your home security assessment or like, yeah, I'd probably get in through there or I could unlock that. No, so you want to lock that up. Yeah, it's good you asked me about this because there could be massive voter fraud, honestly.
Also, what are we going to do with voter fraud? Do you know what I mean? Like at this point, the things we're asking for are like voter fraud so that we have income to put back into the economy and have healthcare so we don't die. And also, you know, create more crises for public health. Right.
Yeah, that sounds
that
about
sound
right.
You just made sums it all up. That is, I think that is the sound.
It's my cocaine charisma, Jack.
Cocaine charisma.
It's just cocaine.
Broadcasting
charisma.
To you live from my bed.
From my bed. Let it rip one time for the people in the back.
All right, let's take another quick break, and we'll be right back to talk about more bullshit.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back, and it's time to talk about some bullshit, such as Tiger King and I. The Tiger King and I.
Is that what that episode was called?
Yeah. It should have just been released as an individual standalone special, Zoom special. It's I can't imagine the filmmakers of the documentary are thrilled that they're now like they released this thing as though it were another episode of the documentary, and it's just basically it's like a weird mixture of a reunion episode of a Real Housewives show, except they're not all in the same place, so much less dynamic. And also it's a series where the people are a mixture of haunted ghosts and horrifying monsters, and they're all a little bit complicit in animal cruelty, but otherwise it's just like Dish, baby. What do you think about Joe? Isn't he a bitch?
I got through maybe the halfway through Jeff Lowe's, so that was only the second interview segment when I was like, this is not helping. Like, this isn't it's weird. The tone is so weird, especially when like Joel McHale's cracking jokes.
So weird.
As like the one zookeeper's like half lamenting the fact that like he was like helping like trick the tigers so they could be euthanized and shit. And you're like, okay.
He's like, but those tigers were sick, right? And the guy was like, you'd hope so, but nah, man.
Yeah, that's when you're like, hold on, okay, you know, for all the goofy character shit that's interesting about this documentary, it's like, there's also all the dark animal cruelty shit that really goes along with it also. Like, and when you see that dude, the zookeeper, kind of like go through his mind of how he's like, the tigers trusted me, and were it not for their trust, that they had in me, I couldn't get them in a position to be tranquilized to be later just summarily executed.
I mean, we saw him go through that while like drinking himself to unconsciousness during the episode, and that was far more powerful than anything, you know, that you see in this. It's just basically a check-in that reconfirms everything you already know about from the series.
I really would have rather had Nicole Byer.
Mm, yeah.
Oh, for sure. It was weird. So the reason, right? Joel McHale, when somebody first sent, I think super producer Anna Hosnier texted the thread and was like, so it's Joel McHale hosting, interviewing people. And I was like, oh, that must be a typo, because that doesn't make any sense. Like the guy from The Soup, that like, which is specifically a show that like was, I enjoyed the hell out of The Soup, but like the tone of that show is like, look at these dummies not really interacting with the subjects of the comedy in a way that was empathetic at all. But it makes sense when you realize that Community just dropped on Netflix and they're pushing that hard, and he's the star of Community. So it's basically they wanted to showcase that, like somehow transition the success of Tiger King into like a Community binge watch, which is like such a fucking stretch, man.
Hey, can we get some cross promo with Tiger King and Community real quick?
You can like see the meeting where it's happening. It's definitely the most kind of transparently like networky thing that I've ever seen Netflix do. Well, there's even a part where Joel McHale shoehorns in a reference to Ken Jeong that doesn't make any sense. He says that the guy who got his arm chewed off should be played by Ken Jeong. And then he's like, I mean, he would need a lot of makeup, and because he's old. And it's just like, no, that doesn't make any sense.
Shut up, Joel McHale. He did have a show, like that weird Soup reboot they attempted on Netflix that only went like maybe 20 episodes or something. So I wonder if he's like on call at Netflix. You're like, hey, we gotta do a make good with Joel, man.
I'm really curious if like a week from now the numbers will show up and it will have worked.
Oh, it'll work.
Really? You think so?
It will work in this very narrow instance that people want more Tiger King and people will watch it to get more Tiger King, but it won't work in the long-term sense of this does damage to the Netflix brand, because it's such a weird, you know, like there's no traceable way that they'll be able to be like, well, now people are think of us in a slightly diminished way, but it's a bad look for them, I think.
The Ranch is a bad look for them. You know what I mean?
The Ranch is also a bad look for them. Netflix, this feels like it's on the level of The Ranch.
But that's where Netflix is. They're going to be like, what are you going to do? Go to another streaming platform? Ha!
Right.
Damn it.
I think the big mistake they made was like releasing it as an episode of the show. Like if they had just been like, here's a dumb one-off special where like Joel McHale interviews some people, like not a lot of people would have watched it probably, but it would have been honest. But the fact that they released it as an episode, the big thing that I learned from the episode is that Joel McHale's hair is not human hair. I don't know if you guys noticed that I've seen this once before on Nicolas Cage's head when I was in college and interviewed him for the school newspaper. But it's like when there's not, an entire, you know, hundreds of people sized crew working on making the person look really good, you can kind of see that the hair is like stapled in there a little bit, or just a little strange.
You saw the staples?
Like you can see like his hairline has like little like divots like you would see in a cornfield.
Oh, this is the problem with HD.
Oh man, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't begrudge him his ability to like, you know, there are, when you look back at early seasons of The Soup, he had a very receding hairline, and now he has a very strong hairline that just looks a little bit like, you know, when you see a really old doll and you see like where the hair's stapled in a little bit, it like has the very beginnings of that. But the weird, so that's fine. I don't begrudge him that at all. It's just
I like how you're being so catty. You're like, look at this man. Yo, look at this man's doll hair real quick. And I don't begrudge him that with his tired ass looking hair plugs.
I don't, because I'm not trying to like make fun of anybody for, you know, superficial things. Like everybody has their own like vanity stuff. And I don't like that's fine. But the weird thing is that comes through because this is such a rushed bullshit production is that he keeps referencing people's hair throughout the whole thing. He like references the first guy. He's like, and did you just wash your luxurious hair? Or how many times did you wash your luxurious hair today? And he's like, I don't know, man. Like, not, I haven't. And then there was another part. He asks Jeff Lowe if the guy, the jet ski guy, like if they should have like imprisoned his hairdresser.
What?
And then there. Like there are these weird things where he keeps like shoehorning in like his awareness of hair that I feel like if it had gone through another couple like rounds of production, people would have been like, it's a little weird that he keeps bringing up hair and his hair looks fine. Like it looks real-ish. But like if you keep raising it as an issue, it's going to become a thing that people notice. I don't know. That's where
right,
I'm
it's like,
at.
I didn't. Yeah.
Is this like how Trump keeps saying, like, rigged? The system is rigged. So, like, we don't notice that it is. Yeah.
Exactly.
But now we notice, some people notice it's rigged in the opposite way. Like, not that it's again, has it rigged, but it's almost like, yeah, I wouldn't have noticed his hair if it were not for him bringing up all the hair on everyone constantly throughout
everyone's
the special.
Everyone's hair constantly.
Did you also notice it, Miles?
No, I was watching on a phone and I was just rolling my eyes at the mere existence of this because like what Jack said, it just had this like bizarro tell-all vibe that like I wasn't like fine, whatever. I'd rather get to like the heart of more pressing matters in that thing than just sort of like, yo, what do you guys like? What's it like going to Walmart now, huh? Whoa, huh? Your teeth were pretty messed
people.
Up, huh?
So what's it like being a celebrity? And
what's
then
it
like
being
there's an
a
implied
Maymay.
Like absurdity. Yeah. And he asks people to cast themselves.
But, you know, they're all thriving.
They are. I mean, I think you still see people like the exploitative nature, like the exploitative seams of the documentary show a little bit when you have like the first person they interview is the zookeeper with the long hair and he's like talking about
and
how
he
used to have a drinking problem, but he doesn't anymore. And
that's also the weird thing about a reunion episode for this show is like, I mean, so what now Making of a Murderer is going to have a reunion episode?
Like, yeah. I mean, God willing, right?
No.
I mean, that was sort of what like season two was, wasn't it?
Yeah. We're going to have a reunion.
that's such a bummer.
Brendan, please let him out. The other person that is who was not in the documentary but just crushing it internationally is Joe Exotic's music career, because Spotify added the tracks on March 30th to the platform, and they've just seen it get like just
Shut up
and up. People are consuming it, not like in a way that it's like it's, you know, it's the new Old Town Road. But it's funny when they look at the analytics, like the countries that are really feeling it, the highest rate of streaming, like given like the, you know, proportionate to their population is Denmark. They are seeing Tiger right now. That's all they can see. And then it's like followed by like Iceland, the UK and Ireland,
what?
I think, are like also like some of the more interested countries in terms of like volume per person. But obviously the United States has the most like numerical numbers of spins because population, but the enthusiasm ranked by state, apparently North Dakota is listening to Joe Exotic at the highest rate, then Mississippi, Montana, Kentucky, and West Virginia, Nevada, Hawaii, California, the least.
California the least?
Yeah.
Good job, California.
Come on, California, get out there.
Because we're out here bumping real music.
We're like, it's raining again.
Yeah.
I know.
They're like, I'm going to listen to Sour Times by Portishead.
Also, he's not singing any of that music.
No.
Which people really ended up liking that music more. Like, that ended up being one of the big takeaways, was like, man, Joe Exotic has a really good voice. Like, for people who, I wasn't really paying attention to it that much, but yeah, it turns out he wasn't singing any of that. He was like softly singing over top of an actual singer who he paid to make those albums. Granted, still showing a degree of narcissistic genius that, if he hadn't been arrested for murder, could have one day gotten him elected president. But like, that's not a thing that a non-narcissist like thinks to do, is hire a band to play music and let you pretend you're singing it.
Right. But that's the same mentality, right? Like, of at a certain level of power and narcissism, you start doing the thing where you just like build these monuments to your own bullshit myth, like self-mythologizing. Or like, you know, whether it's Kim Jong-un, like had like 18 holes in one, or his dad had like 18 holes in one in a golf game. We're like, what the why even say that? Who gives a fuck? Or just Joe Exotic being like, here's a fake ass song where I can actually sing, because that's my brand. It's just like the same shit playing out at different levels.
He did run for president.
Yeah,
he did.
It's true.
And probably would have been the second worst person to get elected.
You think he would have kept the post office?
Probably. Oh, yeah. Probably would have kept the post office up and running.
That's how you sell little baby tigers. Ship them around. Just love on these little baby tigers. Just love on them.
So the New York Times Magazine had a panel of experts for an interview on how to restart the world.
No way.
Yeah.
We're there now.
And
reset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time to reset. Well,
control, like, alt, delete.
I think it's more like we, this whole apocalypse has been more subtle and like slow and boring than I think any of the apocalypses we had imagined up to this point. And I think the restarting is going to be more, like slow, awkward, slow, full of stops and starts than we're imagining right now.
Yeah. They got, a lot of people are curious, like what does normal look like? We were talking about this last week. What the fuck is normal anyway anymore? And like, what's the return to that, even from like a social distancing standpoint? And a lot of what these experts said, they had like, people in like bioethics or like epidemiologists and virologists sort of all talking. And they're all kind of saying the same thing. Like, the only way we get back to what we think is normal, or the way we can curb this social, like even relax some of the social distancing, is we need more testing, and we have to rapidly be able to test, and we have to do, we need contact tracing. That's way more efficient to get a handle on it. Anyone talking about that shit before this, they're like, it's just full of shit. Like, it's just overly optimistic to look at that. And one of the more kind of striking things is the person conducting the interview was sort of mentioning this June date, because I think a lot of people were saying like June could maybe be the beginnings of some relaxing of these social distancing guidelines. And again, they were sort of like, not without that testing, not without properly, like they said, in the United States especially, like, we're not even in a complete lockdown as a country. Like, there's still 8 governors who have yet to really make
moves
on this. So it's like, I don't know how you can think we're really handling it when we're still just allowing other places of the country to keep moving on, when other countries who have been going through this have had to lock down entirely. And they said, in terms of industries, like maybe manufacturing, construction would come back first, because you can reasonably keep 6 feet away from somebody and like exercise social distancing there. But he said, this one expert said, if you're talking about concerts, gatherings, fucking sporting events and shit like that, who are saying, oh yeah, October 2020, we're good. This one expert is like, quote, I have no idea how they think that's a plausible possibility. I think those things will be the last to return. Realistically, we're talking fall 2021 at the earliest.
Wow.
Fall 2021.
That's one. Okay. That's one expert. Okay. I'm not saying, I don't want to put that.
Speakers bureaus are already putting queries out for cyber lectures and cyber performances through 2021.
Right. It's because I think, when you look at it and our inability to actually test properly, like, in Texas, the governor thinks they're going to open up real soon because a couple Walgreens are going to have testing sites. It's like, no, like we're not even close to the capacity of like an Iceland, who has really been able to test anyone. Granted, their population is much smaller, but like those are the levels we need to be at to be able to sort of safely say like, oh yeah, it's safe to go out or it's safe to resume these parts of life. Like we're just, I don't know, like we're looking at a lot of data that we don't have yet.
So they're going to keep this going. They're going to get rid of the post office, wait till after the election so that any protesters will just die. All right.
Yeah.
Now I know what Halloween's going to look like. Okay. Okay. Okay.
I feel like the blood serum testing, like that looks for antibodies, if it turns out that you can't get COVID-19 twice or that your body produces an effective antibody like most other viruses, I think that's going to become a thing. Like the end of the movie Contagion has a whole section where people, after a bunch of months of social distancing, and again, that virus is like way deadlier and kills basically everybody who gets sick with it. But they then create a vaccine for people to get, and they then do like a lottery where like by birthday, and then like if you have a good, which is how they actually did it for the Vietnam War, but people with good birthdays get the vaccine first and so forth. And then like once you get the vaccine, you get this government issued bracelet that allows you to like go back out in public. And I feel like that is the best we could hope for.
Oh my God.
Like that it would be that uniform. I think the bad version of that is that like rich people are the only people who can get the blood serum antibody testing to find out if they had it or not and if they have the antibodies. And then they're the only ones who are able to go out in public, because that's what we saw with the testing to find out if you had the disease in the first place, right? Was
right.
Can I,
the rich people issue. And NBA players.
Can I mail in my ballot now?
Mm-hmm. Right. That's.
I'll just send it now. How about we all just vote right now?
I'm voting Marianne Williamson. Write-in candidate.
Yeah, gang.
Big orb energy. Bring it on home.
Speaking of movies about the coronavirus pandemic, one that kind of keeps coming up that you might not have expected to be the embodiment of a modern-day crisis. And it's actually one that...
I did. I called it. Yeah. I knew it. It's my favorite movie of all time.
Me too. Oh my God. I didn't know that about you.
I didn't know that about you.
Jaws gang.
What?
Yeah. I saw it. It was like my whole claim to fame.
All right. I'm just going to see myself
eight.
Out.
Yeah. See you, Miles.
Bye.
Like up until age 8, it was like my whole thing was how many times I'd seen Jaws. And like I just like drew sharks on everything. It was really
I have a Jaws
for a
pillow.
Wow.
And I have a Jaws shirt that says pause.
That's cute. So anyways, I do want to shout out J.M. McNabb, who writes for the show and was on the podcast when we were in Toronto, when we were still traveling. And he...
February 28th, I
compared,
believe.
Yeah, he compared Trump's response to the mayor from Jaws back then. And yeah, it's pretty staggering. There's... you know, just a lot of moments from that movie that keep coming up in my mind when Richard Dreyfuss tells the mayor that he's ignoring a problem until it swims around and comes and bites him on the ass, which is very memorable to me because it was like one of the first times I heard someone use the word ass. And I was like, ha ha, that guy fucking rules. And then, you know, the guy who, or the woman whose son is eaten by a shark, one of the first victims, and slaps Chief Brody and says the line, "You knew, and now my boy is dead."
My boy is dead.
She actually, the actress, passed away from complications due to the coronavirus.
Oh my God.
Very early on. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I did see that.
And there's a lot of political cartoons where it's like Trump saying, "Why aren't you going back in the water?" looking like the mayor from Jaws and stuff. But it's also literally happening. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp announced that he'd reopen the state's beaches like a while ago. I think it was last week, Thursday.
Yeah.
This is as the Pentagon was ordering 100,000 body bags to store, The Corpse of the Ball, the Americans killed by the coronavirus, he was like, let's reopen the beaches. It's getting warm down here. And obviously in Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis refused to issue a statewide closure of beaches. And then just across the entire, you know, tragedy, that this is kind of how the Trump administration was behaving at first.
Oh my God, my love of secular catastrophe has just skyrocketed, because you're right. We are getting into summer and people are going to keep the beaches open, and it's going to be Jaws IRL, basically.
Yeah, with a much less cooler way of dying.
Thank God we have Biden as our chief Brody. Am I right, guys? High fives. Oh, high fives all around.
High fives. Yes. Zoom fives.
Zoom fives. I always said that I wanted to get eaten by a shark when I was growing up.
Wait, what?
What I wanted to. This is a far worse.
Me too.
What is this thing about how Boris Johnson in 2006 had this take?
Yeah.
Where he said that the real hero of Jaws is the mayor?
Is the mayor. Yes.
How?
So Boris Johnson, who started the coronavirus pandemic out being like, we're going to, you know, keep a stiff upper lip. And, you know, get through this together. And he wasn't like urging social distancing the way that the experts were suggesting. And he was showing off how stoic he was by continuing to shake hands with everyone and brag about it. And then ended up in the ICU. Back in 2006, he told an audience of people that the real hero of Jaws is the mayor. He said it as like sort of a tongue-in-cheek thing because he is, you know, leans more libertarian and he thinks any government intervention is bad. And so he was kind of trying to be cute about it. But then when it came time to make a life or death decision, he actually went the way of the mayor from Jaws for a couple days before people were like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? And he almost killed himself. But there's memes everywhere. It's probably the most memed movie in association with coronavirus for the first at least the first month. And I just think Spielberg in general has always had this, like, his movies always have, you know, in other movies the scary thing is the dark, but in his movies it's always like the horrifying things happen either in broad daylight, like in Jaws or in E.T. when like all the people come in with machine guns and astronaut suits and like take over their town like during the day, or in like it's literally like bright white light like in Raiders or in Poltergeist or in Close Encounters. But I think he was like reacting to, you know, the fact that that is actually how the most horrifying things in our world have happened in modern history. They happen in, you know, the concentration camps of World War II, or, you know, gulags, or, you know, they don't come out of the dark. They happen in broad daylight.
The most horrifying while people things that are happen watching. Are legal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's onto something, huh?
He knows what he's doing. He's onto something, the Spielberg kid.
Keep your eye on this kid.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I've been saying it for like, I was saying it back in the early 2010s that I thought Spielberg's movies were pretty good.
Did you guys catch War Horse?
Y'all check out this War Horse.
Excellent. Guys, keep your eye on this Spielberg, huh?
You know, also one thing I love about that movie is that the Robert Shaw character,
so great.
He ends up, like, it's a self-fulfilling endeavor the whole time. He just wants to, like, die in the arms of the shark the whole time.
Yeah. And there's something, like, very beautiful about, like, the scene where he's eaten and, like, is kind of, like, dragged off with his arms out.
He's like,
it's almost like he's being lifted away by a dance partner.
Oh, yeah. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
It's one of my favorite of shots my in the movie.
Let her rip.
Zara, it has been such a pleasure having you as always. Where can people find you and follow you?
You can come to my house. I'm here all day.
Okay.
Or you can find me on Twitter at Zara Comedy, Zahra Comedy, or on IG at Zara Comedy, where I will be releasing snippets of my comedy special. Or you can help me actually get my comedy special out by supporting me on Patreon at Zara Comedy.
All right. Boom. Do it, guys. Do it. Is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
The one that I was enjoying is a visual one. It's an image that somebody took. Oh, my God. Somebody took a picture from Echo Park down all the way through to the downtown of L.A. while hiking. And it's this gorgeous shot. And there are dolphins in Echo Park. It's amazing.
What do you mean there's dolphins in Echo Park?
Yeah, the lake that's in Echo Park. There's dolphins in it now.
that's amazing, in the image.
Nature is free.
Miles, where can people find you, and what's a tweet you've been enjoying?
I like my handles on Twitter, Instagram, PlayStation Network, Miles of Gray, and you can check out my other podcast, 420 Day Fiance, where we discuss the joy of the show 90 Day Fiance with Sophie Alexandra. Some tweets I like, there are a few. One is from 60 Minutes, because they, it's not often 60 Minutes just slam dunks on people, but they were interviewing Peter Navarro, who we talked about, who is a trade goon, who's in charge of like a lot of the, coordinating a lot of the supplies, and he's been failing, but he's always been using excuses like, okay, look, this was like a once in 500 years flood. Like, how are we supposed to know? You know, like, go back to when you guys were doing the show during the Obama administration, even the Bush administration, and show me something where you guys were talking about pandemics and how we were underprepared. The guy during the interview is adamant that they did. He's like, well, we have. He's like, this has been a thing. Experts have been talking about fears. He goes, yeah, well, show me that segment that you did. He goes, okay, well, I guarantee you we did. Cut to this tweet from 60 Minutes where they're like, they're juxtaposing Peter Navarro denying it, existence of this coverage, and then like three back-to-back segments, one going as far back as 2005 with Anthony Fauci warning 60 Minutes that the United States was not prepared for a pandemic. Like,
Jesus, that's Christ. Amazing.
It's amazing, frustrating, infuriating. You'll feel everything. This video's got it all, guys. another one is from Melissa Del Rey at Suavecita. And it says, these the 5Gs y'all talking about. And it's a photo of a cell phone tower. But like with these, hold on. Sorry, I'm going to have to.
Miles, we can't see. So,
I know. Let me get rid of this virtual B ground. It's with. She says, saying, these the 5Gs you looking for. And it's like five like OG like cholo gang members on a cell tower. It's just like 5G, like five gangsters. So stupid.
That's awesome.
And then lastly, as Easter happened over the weekend, at Randall Otis TV tweeted like a screen grab of searching Google, and it says Jesus height. And the answer says about 5'5". And he tweeted, is this your King of Kings?
Damn.
Savage.
I mean, how did they know? How would they know? You know?
How could they know?
I don't buy it. I think he was like 6'5", 250.
Oh, yeah.
Built like a brick shit house.
Built like The Rock.
Built like me. What?
Meg Guyver tweeted, you ever have an idea so dumb you get concerned that the brain that came up with it is the same one responsible for keeping you alive?
Whoa.
I do.
That's sending me places.
And then Demi Adijuibe tweeted, spent a lifetime working on my don't be alarmed, neighbor. You know, I'm just a friendly passerby smile for white people. And now I got to walk around with a bandana on my mouth. This is bullshit. you can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be today?
I was just in an old, old R&B soul mood. I was listening to some Roberta Flack, and I want to do Gone Away by Roberta Flack, because I forgot in this song, I was listening to All the Way, The whole synth line for T.I.'s song, What You Know About That, is actually lifted from, like, sort of the last theme bridge, like, out of this Roberta Flack song. And
Roberta
Flack version goes so hard. It's, like, with a full orchestra, like, and, like, brass and her voice. And I'm like, I was like, nah, this is gold here. So this is Gone Away by Roberta Flack. Hopefully it'll give you some energy in these very low energy times.
All right. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for this morning. We're going to ride out on that, and we'll be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending. We'll talk to you guys then. Bye.
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 Because I want you back.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.